right, good singing all the way around. Bless the Lord for how good God's been, what He's done, what He's doing. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you find a place in Ecclesiastes, if you're able to stand, we'll look in verse 7. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. We do thank you for it and how good it is that when you do speak, Lord, we know your voice. Bless, I pray, everyone that's gathered here tonight, be with those that could not be. Lord, we pray that you'd meet each and every request in accordance to thy word and in accordance to thy will. And we say with the prophets and apostles and men and women of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless, I pray now this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find that there's a list of things there about things that are, there's time to be, time to kill, time to be able to heal, a time to break down, time to gather, time to cast away. But tonight, we're going to talk about a time that you ought to keep silent. You know, we think somehow or another that we ought to just always have the gift of gab, and that we ought to say something or another, whether we got anything to say or not. I was at a conference many moons years ago. Can't even remember who it was. And they decided to go ahead and pop it on somebody. And the brother had more sense than most of us would have. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. Oh, as long as you've been preaching, sure you have. And he kept forcing it. And the guy had to prove that he didn't have nothing. Just because you've got a lot of experience under your belt don't mean you've got something fresh from God, and you're just better off to sit down and listen to somebody else that may have. But let me say to you that, if you will, that many times you and I, you ever sit down with somebody here of late, we've got a lot of people that we can't understand what God's done. We don't understand what God's doing. And somehow or another, we sit there by their bedside and we think, man, I ought to say something. There's a time to be silent, just to know that your presence is there, just to know that you care, just to know that somehow or another that somebody somewhere is trying to talk to the Lord in their behalf. That's sometimes all you're going to need. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out is that the Bible teaches us and shows us that over there in the book of Amos, and I'll give you a moment to find it in Amos in chapter number 5, and I'll give you a moment to find that. But we're talking about a time to speak or not to speak. That's the question in the lesson that we're looking at, is that we're trying to major on the fact that sometime we just have to be silent. Sometime we just be able to let people know that we're supportive of them. In the book of Amos, over there in chapter number 5, there's a passage there looking about verse number 12. For he said, I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, and they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good, not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord God of hosts shall be with you as ye have spoken. You know, in a time of evilness, you're not going to change what's going on in the day and hour we're living in. Did anybody in this building here, don't raise your hand if you did, are you so sick and so stupid and so deluded that you felt sorry for Hunter Biden when he was on TV about to be indicted of 9 indictments? If you felt sorry for him, you shouldn't. You need to get something fixed in your heart. There's the lying, cheating, and conniving as much that ever has been or ever shall be. Anti-God, anti-America, anti- everything good, right, moral, and decent, that's what they are. And let me say to you that in an evil time we live. I was thinking about, you know, Harvard's always been patted on the back. That's going to be the upper crust, the upper elite of schools, and supposed to everybody grasp at. And that Negro lady, that her last name is Gay, and she looks gay. And she has now sanctioned genocide against Israel. And let me tell you right now, genocide's wrong against any group of people. I don't care who it is. I don't care if they're whites or blacks or Mexican race or whatever it is. But certainly the apple of God's eye, and she could never condemn what was going on there. I hope they fire and they run her out of town on a rail. They don't have to tie her. She's already black. They can just put a little glue and stick some feathers on her and send her down the road. I want to say it's an evil time that we're living in. And somebody will tell you every now and again, and before you jump on this, just stop and think about what I'm about to say. Is that somebody said, you know, if you're going to think it, you might as well say it. Now, that may not be true. Somebody said that, and that may not be true. That might be true in some instances, but not everything you're thinking every time ought to be released. There is a time to be silent. Here's what I do know, is that to give you proof of that, remember there was a man by the name of Samson over in the book of Judges, chapter number 16, and you know what got him in trouble? Well, we know, laying in the lap of a harlot for one thing, but after many days of her trying to seduce him, and after many days of trying to find in where his great strength lie, it wasn't long till finally that he told her all that was in his heart. Sometimes you better think something and just keep it to yourself for a while. And let me tell you what got him in trouble is that every day, daily, she began to press him. You know, the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, don't turn there, chapter 29, about verse number 11, a fool uttereth all of his mind. So there's some things you ought to think that you just have sense enough to be able to keep silent about and to hold back on. I was thinking about in this lesson that you're looking at is that you're going to find out that there's a passage over there. Where is it? In Proverbs. Look there quickly, if you will, in chapter 17. And in the book of Proverbs, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at. And it's in verse number 28, if I've got it written down right. 17, verse 27, 28. Now the Bible said, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even the fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So not every time you think something, you'll say something. You say something, it might remove all doubt from somebody's mind as to how smart or how dumb or how unwise that you are. But let me tell you, a person, the Bible said, even a fool, here's a fool holding his peace. Somebody's counting him as wise because he shutteth his lips and he's a man that's esteemed of a man of understanding. What is that? I got to say to you that in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that the tongue is a little member and it's an unruly member. In the book of James, you can find that out in chapter 3 at about verse number 8. But you'll find that the tongue, no man can tame it. You're never going to be able to be in and of yourself, tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's a little member. It's an evil member. And let me say to you, you've got to be real careful about the thing. It'll finally get you in a lot of trouble. This Bible said over there in the book, don't turn there, but in chapter number Psalm 18, verse 21, this Bible said that the life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you're here tonight and you're not saying, you know the reason you're not saying? You got your tongue shut down. You know the reason you don't know the Lord? You've not opened up your mouth and used your tongue aright to confess that you're a sinner and confess the Lord Jesus Christ has paid your sin debt and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. Do you realize, though, that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson there, that they're over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 12, about verse number 36 and verse number 37, the Bible notices, God notices our words that we're speaking. And not only that, but he's going to call us to give an account to every idle word that's ever been mentioned. Do you know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? Somebody's going to tell you one of these days, if they hadn't already, they will. And if they have already, they will again. Somebody's going to tell you, whatever you say, well, I don't know. I doubt the validity of your profession. You don't act like you're a Christian. And somebody's going to snap at you and say, you can't tell what's in my heart. Oh, yes, you can. That Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I can't run down through here and say, you're saved, you're not, you may be, could be, might, and all. I can't do that. You can't either. But let me talk to you a few minutes. I can tell you how you feel and what God says you'll be saying about being washed by the blood, born again into the family of God. So in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that you've got to be real careful about where you're talking, who you're talking, so forth and on. In this Bible lesson, there's a passage over there in the book of Psalm, and it's in chapter 39. You can look at it, if you will. And it has to do with pure religion. And you know what pure religion is? It's got a bridle. In other words, you know what the bridle is? It's the word of the Lord. And in Psalm 39, verse 1 and 2, he said, I said, I'll take heed to my ways, and that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. Now, he said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days and what it is, that I may know how frail that I am. I got to say to you is that when you do speak, let it be as the oracles of God. When you do have something to say, let it be what thus saith the Lord, chapter, book, and verse. And let me say to you that you'll not go wrong with that. Over there in the book of Matthew 7, don't turn there, but in about verse number 6, that Bible said, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, unless they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. You know, this lesson started out, there's a time to rend. But then you'll find out there's a time that we're to be able to patch things up and to realize and grab hold of the promises of God. To give you an example over there concerning time to be silent and time to rend and time to rip your garments and all that because of the intense grief that you may be serving under. Remember the man by the name of Reuben? He had a brother by the name of Joseph. And you'll find out that what they had done, they had gathered together and decided to sell Joseph into bondage. And so he was the one that is daddy Jacob and all of his brothers, these patriarchs here, is that whenever they sold Joseph and sold him to some Midianites, and Reuben decided to go back by where the pit was they was keeping him in and found out that he was missing. And the Bible said, and he rent his clothes. Now he knows he's fixing to have to go tell their daddy, Jacob, and he's afraid it might bring him all the way down to the grave. And so he tells his daddy and takes that coat and dips it in goat's blood is what they came up with. That's the concoction that they had. And they showed it to their father Jacob, and he rent his garments, so forth and on. David, remember David, here's a man that, if you will, please, is that in times that he rent his garments, and one of them was when he found out that his boy was a betrayer and that his boy was going to meet his maker and that his boy had tried to rob Israel. I said all that just to be able to say this, make no mistake about it, is that Job, when you think about old Job over there in chapter number 1, and that all of a sudden here comes one after the other of his servants and telling about the cattle that had been stolen and about the things that had been destroyed and about the children of his that are now dead. And I want to tell you what he did was is that he no doubt rent his garments and he cried out, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be silent. And let me tell you right now is by the time his friends come, he's in the silent mode and he's sitting there and they don't have a thing to be able to say to him to encourage him, but they went to accusing him and accusing him falsely that maybe he was some kind of great sinner. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that our tongues tonight ought to be inspirational and not to be injurious or to injure anybody, but it ought to be, and that doesn't mean that we can't reprove, rebuke, and exhort, but let me say to you is that our tongue ought to be used to encourage somebody along the way in the things of life. Over in Proverbs 15, about verse number 4, the Bible said that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Don't you like it whenever somebody gives you something from the word of the Lord you can grab hold of and that you can really sink your teeth into and that you can really get it inside your heart, and it just makes you feel good all over about what God's done for you in behalf of you? the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, about verse number 25, that what you and I ought to do is put away lying and speak the truth with our neighbor. And what you do is, if you speak good and you edify the body of Christ, I can promise you right now is, you'll be ministering grace to those that'll hear you. Not everybody's going to hear you. Not everybody wants to hear you. But those that do hear you, if you've got something from the Lord, while you turn to Proverbs 16 and wait there, if you've got something from the Lord, you can't rise above that. Now, there are those in this world that we're living in, is that you'll find out is that they just want to say something. And every now and again, you're going to run upon somebody that just wants to say something. But every now and again, you'll run upon somebody that has something to say. Somebody may get up and say, I'd like to say something. Another may get up and have really something to say. That's kind of like the fellow that I was talking about. That was probably a good preacher, and probably he had enough sense to know that I don't really have anything from the Lord tonight. I don't feel any liberty from the Lord. I can just preach you a sermon out of all these years, but it's not just a sermon that we need to hear. We need to hear something fresh and anew and that has the touch of God upon it. And let me tell you right now is that there are those sometimes that just want to speak, and then there are others that really have something to say. I want to say to you that much talking most of the time is just the exercising of the tongue, and it has absolutely no other human faculty involved in it, and it has absolutely nothing to share, nothing to encourage, nothing to build you up, nothing of faith. Now, great wisdom is required to know when as well as what to be able to speak. I was thinking about, you know, as we looked into this lesson here tonight, over there in Proverbs 16, and we're going to be closing with about verse number 1 through 3. Now watch this, what he says. The preparations of the heart in man and the true answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There's what we need. I need God to prepare my heart, get me in tune with Him, and give an answer from the Lord with my tongue. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I want you to see in closing that as we looked at that, is that if you've got something that came directly from the throne room of God, from the fire of God's altar, you'll have something that'll be a blessing to you and to those that hear you. If not, you'll just be another tongue wagger. You ever hear somebody that whenever they got done asking you a question, you'd forgot even what the question was? I want to ask you something, preacher, and then blah, 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 blah. Now, what was the question? Oh, you didn't have a question. You just wanted to give me some information. Well, next time, give me fair warning. You might want to take off running, because I'm fixing to give you some of my mind. I've literally had women that in days gone by that got mad, not you good women here. But I've had more than one or two said, well, I got to tell you, preacher, I want to give you a piece of my mind. And my response is always the same. Save it, sister. You can't spare it. That's the way all of us ought to be. I want to give you a piece of my mind. How about giving me a piece of what God's mind is? You see the difference? And if you've got your heart prepared in tune with the Lord, I guarantee you right now, He'll give you something that'll come fresh from the throne room, and there'll be a blessing to somebody up and down the road of life. All right? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Lord, these that have gathered tonight, Lord, our homes look like they're just in shambles. Disease has got us on every hand. Trying times are upon us. And yet we want to say that we bless your holy name, because thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Now bless these requests that have been mentioned. Bless, I pray, this simple sermon this evening. And we'll say thank you for all you've done and all you're